The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 3rd, texts number 12 to 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on October 23rd, 2012, in Tallinn, Estonia.
Translation for 12. Shavyana Muni said, although you are intelligent to drink soma, rasa, and sacrifices, I promise to give you a full pot of it. Kindly arrange beauty and youth for me, because they are so attractive to young women. Bhadang it yachayur vipram abhinanja vishaktamau Nibajjatang Bhavan Asmin Radesida Vinirmite. The great physicians, the Ashvini Kumaras, very gladly accepted Shavana Muni's proposal. Thus they told the Brahmana, just dive into this lake of successful life. One who bathes in this lake has his desires fulfilled. It yukto jaraya grasto deho dhamani santata radang praveshito shvibhyang vali paleta vigraha. After saying this, the Ashvini Kumaras caught hold of Shyavana Muni, who was an old diseased invalid with loose skin, white hair, and veins visible all over his body. And all three of them entered the lake. Purport. Shyavana Muni was so old that he could not enter the lake alone. Thus the Ashvini Kumaras caught hold of his body and the three of them entered the lake. Purushashtraya utastur uptutastur apivya vanita priya padmashraja kundalinas Tulya Rupa Savasana, Savasasa. Thereafter, three men with very beautiful bodily features emerged from the lake. They were nicely dressed and decorated with earrings and garlands of lotuses. All of them were of the same standard of beauty. Tan Niriksha Vararoha Sarupan Surya Varchasa Ajanati Pating Sadvi Ashvinau Sharanangyo. The chaste and very beautiful Sukanya could not distinguish her husband from the two Ashvini Kumaras, for they were equally beautiful. Not understanding who her real husband was, she took shelter of the Ashvini Kumaras. Purport. Sukanya could have selected any one of them as her husband, for one could not distinguish among them, but because she was chaste, she took shelter of the Ashvini Kumaras so that they could inform her who her actual husband was. A chaste woman will never accept any man other than her husband, even if there is someone equally or as handsome and qualified.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschantya Deshatarine.
So it is very nicely described here about this sadvi, this chaste lady, Sukanya. This pastime is very revealing about the whole Vedic culture. That duty is the prime principle. Duty is the most important thing. She wanted to take the man who was her husband. It didn't matter who was good looking or handsome. That was not the criterion. Similarly, the man, he thinks, the woman who is my wife, that's my duty. Not that, oh, there's someone more good looking, so let me give up my wife and take this other woman. Even if your wife is ugly, still, my duty is to serve this woman. You see. So, also for the brahmachari, you see, he has a duty with his spiritual master. Doesn't matter if the spiritual master is a young, powerful man or an old, invalid man, it doesn't matter, you see. That principle of duty is the entire basis of the Vedic culture, duty. One has to stick to their duty. Whether one thinks, well, the result may be what I like, it may be what I do not like, that there's no question of the result. You simply do your duty. That's it. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was thinking, oh, there will be a very bad result if I do this. Therefore, I don't want to do it, you see. Arjuna forgot the principle of duty. So Krishna had to remind him. The entire Bhagavad Gita was spoken to remind Arjuna of the principle of duty. So how is duty understood? How do we understand duty? That is the order given by the spiritual master. Whatever my spiritual master instructs me, that I accept as my life and soul. Whether it seems to be easy, difficult, or absolutely impossible, it doesn't matter. Whatever instruction my spiritual master gives me, I take it as my life and soul. Who is the perfect example of this principle? Is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He was a young kid, basically a young kid in his 20s. And he walked in to hear this great spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Prabhupada was a guest. He wasn't a member of the ashram. He was a guest. It's like somebody comes for the first time to the Sunday feast. You know, they're brand new. They just walk. They've never been to the Hare Krishna temple. The first time they walk in the door, you see. That's what it was like when Prabhupada went to that rooftop at Uttadanga, Calcutta.
То же самое было, когда Прабхупада пошел на крышу
As soon as he walks in and takes a seat, immediately Bhaktisiddhanta gives him an order. You must spread this to the English-speaking world. So at that time, our Srila Prabhupada, he was one of those countercultural youth. He was a Gandhian. And during the countercultural days in the U.S., if you were countercultural, you would grow your hair, you'd have beads, a peace symbol. That was a sign of being counterculture, you see. In Prabhupada's day, if you were countercultural, you wore khadi dhoti. You didn't wear a mill dhoti. You wore like this one is actually hand woven. You see, this is. I still do it. I buy the hand woven dhotis, but you get a hand woven cloth. You don't buy the machine woven cloth. You see. So Prabhupada was wearing the khadi, the hand woven rough type of cloth. You see. Identifying himself as a countercultural youth, a Gandhian. That we got to get these British out of India, you see. That's the number one thing now. We have to get the British out of India. So he was taken aback. Spread Krishna consciousness to the English world. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to get these British out of you. So he argued with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. No, not Krishna consciousness. Get the British out. Who will hear this Chaitanya's message if we're a dependent nation? He was trying to tell Bhaktisiddhanta he was wrong. His order was incorrect. It wasn't valid order. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur completely defeated our Srila Prabhupada. There is no greater urgency than the spreading of Krishna Bhakti. Never mind who is in political power. Doesn't matter. This politician, another politician, what is the difference in me? The urgency is to spread the message of Krishna. And Prabhupada accepted this argument. He immediately accepted, oh, this is my spiritual master. And now I have been given this order to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. I must do this. My spiritual master has ordered me. I must do this. How can I do it? I have no idea how even to begin spreading Krishna consciousness in the speaking world, but all I know is Guru Maharaj has ordered me to do this, and I have to dedicate myself to doing this. That's all you see. This is called duty. You see. Prabhupada told us it was a wonderful day, actually, and I remember in Atlanta, Georgia, USA. Prabhupada explained to us that my Guru Maharaj, he sent some of my godbrothers for preaching in Britain. And they were preaching to one British lord named Lord Jetland. Actually, it is Lord Zetland, but Bengalis don't pronounce the Z, so Prabhupada said Lord Jetland. So they were preaching to Lord Zetland. And Lord Zetlin, he was familiar with Vedic culture. He had been the governor of Bengal at one point during British rule. So he's thinking, well, I got one feather in my cap, I'm a British lord, you see. It's called feather in the cap, you know, prestige, and one honor. One honor is, I'm a British lord. I'm greatly honored as being a British lord. Now, in India, the biggest position is Brahmana, you see. So if I can be a British lord and a Brahmana, then I'll become even great, more greatly honored, you see. So Lord Zetlin asked Prabhupada's godbrother, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? And Prabhupada's godbrother said, oh yes, no problem. Simply you have to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. I can make you a Brahmin, no problem. So Lord Zetlin immediately replied, impossible. So Prabhupada told us, therefore, after hearing this pastime of my godbrother preaching to Lord Zetlin, when I came to your America, your country America, I was thinking, as soon as I tell you, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. You immediately tell me, Swamiji, please go home. But Prabhupada said, let me try. You see, this is duty. Prabhupada considered that he would fail. But I have my order from my spiritual master. So success or failure doesn't matter. Simply I have to endeavor to the best of my ability to carry out the order given to me by my spiritual master. Even if I die in America, not having even made one devotee, I will have done my best to serve my spiritual master. So this is the mood, you see, of Prabhupada. This also we see in Sukanya, this chaste woman, sadvi, like the sadhu and a sadvi, a female sadhu, you see. These sadhus and these sadvis, they are very dedicated to just doing what is their duty, you see. They are not fruitive actors. Karmis. They're not motivated by what will be the fruit of this action. They're simply motivated by I must do what is my duty. Whatever order I receive from my spiritual master, I must accept that order as my very life and soul. Actually, it's interesting that I'm sitting here today in this temple room. Because when I preach, I often refer to one verse that I read in a class I gave here a few years ago, right? Sitting in the same seat. Prabhupada, that day here, the class we were studying here in this temple room, Prabhupada was saying in the purport, that the disciple worships the order he received from his spiritual master. In other words, not that he just remembers it, but he worships it. I mean, that's really powerful. He takes it as sacred. He bows down to that order. He offers his obeisances to that order. Accepting it as his very life and soul. So, my dear Prabhus and Matajis, and guests, this is how we will become happy in Krishna consciousness. We will simply take the order of this bona fide spiritual master. We will execute it dutifully. Then we will become happy. But I don't have a spiritual master, someone may say. Oh, yes, you do. Prabhupada is the spiritual master of all of us. If you will take Prabhupada as your instructing spiritual master, read his books, follow his instructions, and you'll achieve all happiness and success. This is why we are trying to flood this whole planet with Prabhupada's books, you see. Because anybody who will read these books of Srila Prabhupada, anybody who then will try to seriously understand these teachings of Srila Prabhupada and sincerely try to follow these teachings of Srila Prabhupada, will become completely liberated from all miseries of material existence. We Hare Krishna people cannot stand seeing how much people are suffering. We are very, very disturbed by this. Just like last night, we were having a wonderful kirtan there at the down at the ship terminal. And there was one man whose duty was to be the security. And he was yelling at us, telling him to get away from the kid. I couldn't understand the language, but he was chastising us for our kirtan. I was thinking, it's not that he personally really feels that, but if he feels he has to do that, or he'll get in trouble with his boss. To keep his own job, so he doesn't get chastised, he has to chastise us, you see. So actually, he was in fear for his own job. And then he took it, and then he chastised us for the kirtan, you see. How miserable they are, you see. They're in a state of constant anxiety. We cruised yesterday from Helsinki here to Tallinn on the Tallink Superstar. And a vast majority of the people, they just come over here to get cheap liquor, and they get their little wagons and their little carts, and they bring their cases of liquor back to Helsinki, sit there in the cold winter, you know, getting drunk on this Estonian alcohol. And that's their happiness. They're so spaced out and miserable. One man, all of us were crammed in the elevator with all of our luggage, and this man, he had his two cases of liquor. He squeezed into the elevator with his cases of liquor. He was so spaced out, his pants were falling down, you know. And he didn't even pull them up, you know. I mean, just completely bewildered, you know. These poor souls, these are spirit souls, they're actually the devotees of Krishna originally, you see. That man, he's actually originally an eternal associate of the Lord and created the Lord's pastime. He's descended so low that he's on an elevator full of devotees and he doesn't snap out of the illusion of bodily enjoyment, you see. They're so covered over, just like animals. The human society is practically not humans at all. Where are the human beings in the world society today? They're like squirrels, monkeys, donkeys, asses. The whole world, you know. Schwab, what is it? Sabakas, Verblutes, Asfjols, and Svinjas. You see? Completely, it's a horrible situation. So we have a duty from Prabhupada. And we may not like the duty. But it doesn't matter whether we like the duty or whether we don't like the duty. It is a duty given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He has ordered us to deliver the entire world. He expanded the order that he got from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Bhaktisiddhanta told him the English-speaking world. And Prabhupada told us the entire world. So in this way, the order has expanded. And we have a very big duty to do now. We have to make the entire world happy. We have to save everybody from the misery of bodily consciousness. Whether we like it or not. But actually, there's nothing more likable than this order that Prabhupada has given us. If we will embrace this order that we must deliver the whole world, taking this order as our life and soul, then immediately we become liberated. That's one of the insider secrets. You want to become a Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul? Here's the fast track to liberation. Dedicate yourself to liberating the whole world. That from now on, my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances will be for the deliverance of the fallen soul. If you adopt this conviction within your heart, then immediately you are liberated. So it's a wonderful duty that Prabhupada has given us. He has told us to liberate the world. And by taking that order that Prabhupada has given on our heads as our life and soul, we are instantly liberated. Qualified or unqualified, it doesn't matter. We may not be great yogis. great jnanis, great scholars, great philanthropists, great artists, great leaders. We don't have any great qualities. But if somehow or other we will take Prabhupada's order as our life and soul, then we become immediately liberated. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Should we make all efforts to all, we should try to get good results?
If we should try our best to get the highest point of this result.
To get the best possible results?
Yes.
We should strive to get good results?
For Krishna.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not, our attachment is to duty. We don't need the results for ourselves, but for Krishna, we want to offer Krishna the whole world. That's a very big result. We want that every politician and every high court judge should wear tilak. We're shooting for the highest. We're a bigger result than even, you know, some multi-millionaire or multi-billionaire or a big politician. I mean, our ambition is much bigger than any of these big leaders of history, Napoleon, Hitler, George Washington, or whatever it may be, Mahatma Gandhi. Our vision, our desire for result is bigger than any of these materialists. We are more, in that sense, we are more fruitive than any fruitive worker. Papa said that he is more of a karmi than the karmis. Who is working? Who can work like I can work, Prabhupada? Nobody can work the way I'm working. You see. He was sleeping 3.5 hours a day, you know, just traveling all over the world, constantly writing, preaching. Just no one can work, no karmi, no motivated karmi trying to become a billionaire could work as hard as Prabhupada worked, you see. So we are more result oriented than any karmis, actually. But it's all for Krishna. For ourselves, just give me a couple of chapatis, a little corner in the room to lay down at night. Give me a little hook on the wall, I can hang all my belongings, you know. See, like Brahmachari, you see. It's very nice. This Brahmachari life is an ideal life, you see. Anything else?
What means not to be attached to results?
What does it mean not to be attached to the results? That means you will act just for the sake of acting. Here's a good example. Prabhupada was giving lectures in the evening. And one night nobody showed up. It was an empty room. But Prabhupada still gave lecture. And he recorded it. That's the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very profound lecture that Prabhupada gave one night when nobody showed up. So somebody attached to the results and think, well, I'm going to give a really fired up lecture tonight, but no one shows up, let me just go sleep, you see. He's attached to the result. He advertised the lecture, and he's attached to the result of his advertisement. If
If we get a big audience, then I'll be fired up. If nobody shows, I'm going to say, go sleep. You see, he's attached to the result of his advertisement. But if he's not attached, he will dutifully give the same powerful lecture, whether there's a whole room packed with people or an empty hall, it won't matter. You see? That's what it means not to be attached to the result. Does that help you to understand it better? There you go. Okay, any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? Okay. You have a question, right? It's an interesting question. I have an order from my spiritual master how to do it in such a way that I don't disturb the devotees. There was one brahmachari, his name was Jayapataka Das Brahmachari. He later on became known as Jayapataka Maharaj. He was a young brahmachari in Montreal. And he had a darshan with Prabhupada somehow or other. He got to talk with Prabhupada. I think he brought Prabhupada a rose. Yeah. And Prabhupada was so pleased. He said, now you must bring, now I'm asking you kindly, I'm instructing you, bring me a rose every day. So he went to the treasurer at the temple and said, well, you know, I need some Lakshmi because I have to get Prabhupada a rose. Prabhupada wants me to bring him a rose. He told me to bring him a rose, so I need some Lakshmi for a rose. And the treasurer said, what? You're not authorized to get any money for a rose. So Jayapataka Das Brahmachari is bewildered. What to do? Prabhupada said, bring a rose. The temple treasurer says, no, we're not going to give any Lakshmi for a rose. What am I supposed to do? He's bewildered, trying to figure out what to do. He just started wandering around the neighborhood. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Prabhupada said, bring her, get a rose. The temple said, no, we're not going to give any Lakshmi from a rose. And he was wandering around. He was just wandering. And then he all of a sudden, he looked up and he was in front of a florist shop. And I forget what happened, but somehow he got the rose from the florist shop. I don't know how he got it because they hadn't given him any money. But so in this way, there may sometimes be a little conflict between the spiritual master and the local authority. Actually, the GBC has written a whole paper about it called Parallel Lines of Authority. I personally don't see it's a big issue because I was trained by Prabhupada in a certain way. He told me this. He said, do whatever the local, whatever your temple leaders say, you do that. That's all. You do what your leaders say. He ordered me. So, by your local leader, you see, he is the representative of the spiritual master. The GBC now have reminded all the gurus that you have to instruct your disciples in such a way that's in harmony with the local authorities. That's nothing new to me, because that's nothing new at all to me, because exactly what Prabhupada told me, do what your local leaders say. So in this way, the spiritual masters, they want to see that their disciples are pleasing their local leaders. In fact, Prabhupada was one time asked, Srila Prabhupada, when you're not here, how will we know if you're pleased?
Prabhupada said, the temple president and the GBC are there. So that means we, when the spiritual master is not present, if you act under your local authorities, and that pleases your spiritual master. So in this way, whatever order we get, if we've gotten specific orders from our spiritual master, we don't just ignore our local authorities. Of course, there are cases. In Prabhupada's example, he actually had some problems because he got one order. He was staying at one ashram of a godbrother of his, and they didn't want him to carry out the order that he had gotten from Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Sometimes it's problematic. Prabhupada had been told to preach to the English-speaking world and to publish literatures. Publish books. Prabhupada had been ordered to print books. So he was staying at the ashram of one of his godbrothers, and Prabhupada had these aggressive plans for publishing books. And this is one of those ashrams, they just wanted to eat, you know, do a little arti, eat some chapatis and sleep. They didn't like that that Prabhupada was this is described in the Lamrita, the book the Srila Prabhupada Lamrita. You can read it there, but they weren't happy that Prabhupada was pushing book distribution. So in a very polite, roundabout way, they invited him to leave the ashram. Because there was a conflict between the order that what the ashram leaders wanted to do and what Prabhupada had been ordered to do, there was a conflict. So that can happen also sometimes. But in ISKCON, though, it's not supposed to be an issue because our leaders are supposed to. We're all following Prabhupada's orders, you see. We're all under the same orders. Prabhupada's orders, the gurus are under Prabhupada's orders, the temple authorities are under Prabhupada's orders, everyone's under the same orders. So in ISKCON it shouldn't be an issue. Where in the Gaudiya Math it definitely was an issue. Because they were neglecting Bhakti Siddhanta's orders for aggressive preaching. They were neglecting it. But if there's an ISKCON temple authority who's neglecting Prabhupada's orders and there's a disciple there who's trying to do what Prabhupada said, then there could be sometimes some problem. Therefore, we have the GBC to. Sometimes temple presidents have to be rectified by the GBC. And sometimes individual GBCs have to be rectified by the GBC body also. That happens too. Because we have only one authority, and that's Srila Prabhupada. And the GBCs are also given the authority to act as Prabhupada's representatives to guide the entire movement. And the temple presidents, anyone who's given a leadership position, a Sankirtan leader, a spiritual master, a head of the pujari department, anybody who's given a leader's position, head cook, even a parent, you know, everyone who's taken has a leadership position in our society is meant to convey to their dependents the teachings of Srila Prabhupada.
И президент храма, и вообще все, кто находится в положении лидера, там, не знаю, лидер санкиртаны, главный повар, санкиртанщик, и даже родитель, у него есть ответственность действовать в соответствии с наставлением Шрилы Прабхупады.
That's how our movement will be strong, that's how it will be vibrant, that's how it will be successful.
Это то, как мы будем сильны, как мы сможем вызвать, как мы можем быть успешны.
We stick to the instructions of His Divine Grace Srila
Prabhupada.
So if there's any difficulty, you can always appeal to the GBC or talk to your spiritual master, etc. Because we have a mood of cooperation in our society, therefore there's any conflicts, they can be worked out by by having some discussions and working out some compromises, all these issues can be resolved.
Потому что у нас дух сотрудничества в обществе, и все это может быть важно после какой-то дискуссии.
So does that answer your question? Yes? Okay. Anything else?
Еще вопросы?
Yes.
So the students and the dependents, should they be the robots?
Should a dependent be a robot?
Должна ли зависимость у студентов быть таким автоматичным?
For example, Prabhupada told me, do whatever the leaders say, so should I take it like a robot?
Например, Шрила Прабхупада сказал мне, делай все, что скажет лидер.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Должен я делать как робот?
Or should I be an intelligent brahmana and always keep my own philosophical perspective? One who just blindly accepts orders, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, they're called fanatic. They follow rules and regulations, but they don't really understand why. They are in a dangerous position of falling down from Krishna consciousness at any minute. Someone should not blindly follow instructions as a robot. One should connect this instruction with, someone instructs me, I should see, well, this is very nice instruction because this is what Prabhupada has said we should do. And now my spiritual master or my temple president is now asking me to do this. This is very good. This is coming from Prabhupada. And doing what Prabhupada says is very good because this is what Krishna says I should do. So one should dutifully follow the orders he has received from his superiors. That's a fact.
Да, нужно соответственно исполнять наставления, которые старшими даются.
But not blindly as a fanatic robot.
Но не слепо, как какой-то робот-фанатик.
Want you to understand why I should be doing this.
Нужно понимать, зачем это делать.
Why am I putting on a dhoti or a sari?
Зачем я вообще надеваю dhoti или sari?
Like a robot?
Как робот?
Or I'm doing it for a reason.
Или есть какая-то причина.
Why am I putting on tilak? You see? Why am I keeping a shaved head and a sikha? Am I just some blind follower or some cult? Or am I a self-realization scientist who understands that by doing this, I'm refining and fine-tuning my consciousness? To achieve the supreme perfection. So robots are okay in the beginning for a couple of minutes. Don't be a robot forever. I mean, blind following is okay in the beginning, but you shouldn't immediately need to find out, why am I doing this, you know? You come to the temple, they say, well, when you come to the temple, you should bow down. So you do it because you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? But you need to find out, why do we bow down when we come into the temple room? You need to find out. So it's okay to be a robot for a little bit in the beginning. That's all right. But you have to immediately find out why we bow down when we come to the temple. Why we wear tila. Why we, you know, chant a mantra with some beads. You should know everything about what you're doing and why you're doing it. Otherwise, you are a robot, and you're not going to advance very far in this pathway. So we don't want robots. We want brahmanas. Those who have deep knowledge of what is Brahman and how to achieve Brahman, they are brahmanas. Anything else?
Even if the instruction is not in line with Srila Prabhupada's teaching.
So, she's making a point. Sometimes instructions are given that are not in line with Prabhupada's teachings. So what to do when that happens? It's like my temple president one time. Prabhu, we need some chalk. We had it in the kitchen. We had a little chalkboard putting anything in the menu or something, you know, and we'd write it on a chalkboard. Something we'd write. So we ran out of chalk. I said, Prabhu, we need some chalk. Can I buy some chalk? Can I get some Lakshmi to buy some chalk for the chalkboard? The temple president said, no, just go to the university campus and steal some chalk. That's what he told me. So did I do it? Did I go to the university campus and steal some chalk? Actually, I had received a direct letter from Prabhupada himself. He said, we should not steal anything. Prabhupada personally told me we should not steal anything. And now my temple president ordered me to steal something. So, what am I supposed to do? Prabhupada in one letter said, do whatever the authority says. See, here's the contradiction. Prabhupada in one letter said, do whatever the leader says without question. He said in one letter. Another letter he told me, don't steal anything. And now the authority says, you go out and steal some chalk. So what are you supposed to do? It's contradictory, isn't it? So I wrote as a sincere brahmachari, I wrote the GBC. But my dear GBC, my temple president, Prabhupada told me not to steal, and my temple president told me to steal, so what should I do? GBC said, don't steal. So I was trying to serve Prabhupada's order, to serve my authority without question, but the authority had told me directly something against Prabhupada's instruction. And there's a whole famous history of ISKCON, and you may be surprised to hear this. It's not widely known, but it happened at one point in ISKCON's history. I'll tell you the story. There was a sannyasi who was in charge of our New York temple. He was a very, very powerful GBC man, sannyasi, very powerful leader. And one lady came to the temple. She said that she was the heiress to the Toyota fortune. Heiress means that she will inherit the entire fortune of a Toyota motor company. And that Japanese company, Toyota, it's a big, big automobile manufacturing company in Japan. She claimed that she would be inheriting the entire Toyota fortune. This is billions of dollars. So she is what's known in English as a con artist. Well, very good, who can fool you in thinking there's somebody that they're not. So the temple president believed that she was actually the heiress, the one who would inherit the Toyota fortune. And he thought, wow, what a great opportunity for ISKCON. I'm going to give up sannyas, I'll marry this woman, and well, ISKCON will become fabulously rich. So he did it, he gave up sannyas, he married this woman, and she would treat it like a princess. Even more than, she got more worship than even our gurus get today in ISKCON. I kid you not. I remember she came to visit our temple in Miami, and she was hearing the Bhagavatam class, right? She had a female attendant, servant, who fanned her with a chamara whisk while she heard the Bhagavatam class. I saw this with my own eyes. We Ramacharya is sitting here, and there's a Manaji of her being fanned with a chamara whisk while she's hearing the Bhagavatam class. So this woman, she wasn't really strict in following our regulated principles. And she would order fast food sometimes on the telephone, have it delivered to the temple with eggs in it, you know. And she even had foodstuffs with eggs being offered to Sri Sri Radha Govinda, the deities. Eggs being offered to Sri Sri Radha Govinda. And nobody dared say anything because she's the queen, you know. And Prabhupada wasn't very happy. The devotees were blindly going along with all this nonsense. So she's no longer part of ISKCON. She's not in our movement anymore. And so devotees were blindly going along with her like robots. Well, we can't say anything because I don't forget her name, but Maharani, you know, but I think they called her Maharani. Maharani said that, you know, she's the Maharaj, the Maharani, right? The Maharani said, so wait, what can we do? Maharani said, you know. So we shouldn't be blind followers. Should not be robots. If someone is doing something blatantly against Prabhupada's instructions, then we should take a stand. This is not right. It says right here in Prabhupada's books, and that we're not doing what Prabhupada said. We can't deviate from Prabhupada. So you can actually. The GBC policy is that any devotee in ISKCON can propose a resolution to the GBC. So in other words, the GBC is saying we're not saying you should be our blind followers. 1 year, the GBC passed a resolution that many devotees thought was wrong. Many devotees thought this was wrong what the GBC did. Many senior devotees thought the GBC had made a big mistake. And they let the GBC know about it. And the next year, the GBC canceled that resolution. So the point is, we have to, you know, we have to take a responsibility, each one of us. To read Prabhupada's books, to understand Prabhupada's books, and to see that Prabhupada's teachings are being followed properly. You see, if you can point out to me something I'm doing wrong which is not in accordance with Prabhupada's books, I'll be very grateful to you. Even if my disciples can correct me, I have no objection. I'm trying to be perfect in everything I do. But if there's any discrepancy that any of you can point out and that I'm in any way deviating from Prabhupada's books, I'll take you as my best friend. Because we are all simply the tiny servants of Srila Prabhupada. He is the one authority for our movement. And we as his representatives have authority to the degree that we've accepted his authority. No one has any real ill authority beyond how much they've accepted Prabhupada as their authority. You see. One becomes an authority to whatever extent he has accepted Prabhupada fully as his authority. Anything else? So it looks like we're getting close to 9 o'clock is a good stopping point. So we thank you all very much for your participation in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And you will make the whole world happy. So now we will distribute some prasadam. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Shri Sankirtan Prabhu ki jai.